You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Monday, the 1st of December. So I hope you all had a good weekend. Good to have you with us as always. And as you know, the whole idea of the session is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities, of course. Now, very interesting to see the reaction we've had overnight in markets like the US indices. We had a really positive Black Friday. We're obviously now into Cyber Monday, but very significant online retail sales numbers are exceed previous years. So that's a real net positive. However, we've seen a pretty significant, let's say, irrational selling again in the industry markets that have just dropped off the highs pretty aggressively. Now, it's probably just technical in nature. There doesn't seem to be a major narrative that we can pinpoint to say, right, well, the equities now are selling off because of X, Y, and Z. It looks like Kevin Hassett is getting closer to becoming Fed chair. We shall maybe get notification of that before Christmas. So that's more of a dove in the Fed chair role. And that's all well and good. But the one thing that really the US administration and Donald Trump and Kevin Hassett need to address is the inflation backdrop. You know, there's a major reason why central banks cannot just, you know, cut rates to make, you know, car loans more affordable. That all sounds great, and every central bank would do that, surely. The reason why they don't is because of the impact it has, especially with the elements of the Big Beautiful Bill as well. These are stimulative measures. And the problem when you stimulate an economy over and above where we're currently at is that it has an upward impact on inflation. And that's the problem here. We could have a situation where we have a central bank cutting rates and we could have inflation continuing to tick higher well above what the Fed's target actually previously was, which is 2%. We're still, you know, sort of teetering just above 3%. Now, if that ticks to 4%, there's a major problem. And a lot of it is tariff driven, of course, which has yet to really find its way through. But apparently, you know, it's beginning to creep through now. So you could argue we've not really seen much of the inflation, the tariff-based inflation yet. It's been shielded, you could say, in many ways from the consumer. So yeah, some technical moves in the industry markets. We're still very much positioned in for a weaker dollar. We've still got potentially good upside there. So we're going to see how that plays out. So let's get in. We'll do our analysis. We'll have a look at the market fundamentals, see what news events are coming out this week as well. We'll have a look at sentiment, see where that's a bit up and down, and then the technical backdrop as well. We'll post our trade plan before we finish. Okay, so let's, of course, start with our risk warning. As always, just be mindful of the risks involved in trading these financial markets. All profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade, where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk along with your ability to manage trades effectively and trading psychology? All very important features. We discuss these every day in our live trade rooms, of course, and we have to maintain really a strong, it's very easy to get pushed around these markets. It's very easy to start chasing a losing trade or, you know, make these lots of silly decisions around trading. And what that often does is make a small problem much, much worse. Instead, what we're finding, we're picking a couple of positions. We know they're sort of momentum-based trades, so we want to give them a bit of time to make some progress. And they're just slow in making that progress. But we are making progress. So I'm not really willing to hold on to markets like the equity markets if they start selling off indiscriminately again. So we've just got to be careful of, we've got to juggle sort of both principles at the moment. Accurate, of course, in levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient. So let's start then with a review of potential market moving news. So it's going to be an important week this week. We'll have a look at the yen in a little bit more detail shortly, but this afternoon we've got manufacturing PMI numbers and for the US economy, I mean, and manufacturing prices as well. Same across the Eurozone, and UK is in here. So a lot of sort of technical manufacturing numbers. You can see the PMI, the headline numbers are coming in slightly improved on the previous number, but still below 50. So we're still contracting as far as the manufacturing numbers are concerned. And those prices are continuing to tick higher. So further price pressures, although those pressures have kind of eased a little bit, 59.5 does imply an upward trajectory from the previous. So that would be a little bit of concern there from an inflationary perspective. Got a few central bankers. Tomorrow we'll be hearing from Jay Powell in the early hours of the morning, and he's participating in a panel discussion about his economic policy contributions. Audience questions expected. Could be very, very interesting, Matt. You know, what was your contribution, Jay Powell? It's going to be interesting. Will he mention that he was very interested in pumping markets? If not by rate cuts, by talking about rate cuts. It's going to be interesting to see what headlines come out of that one. And then European inflation numbers tomorrow as well. So consumer price index. So these are year-on-year numbers. I'm sure the ECB will be mildly comfortable with these numbers, pretty close to two. We're not a million miles away. And the headline is at 2.1. So look, we have been, if you look at the numbers here, we've been flatlining around 2%, which is really what the ECB's target is for these numbers to come back, 2%. And that's where we find ourselves. So 2.1 in the realms of acceptable inflation numbers. Wednesday, we'll start looking at US job numbers. So this would be for October now. Struggling to keep up with the recent government shutdown, but these numbers are looking a little bit on the weaker side. And then on Thursday, we've got Challenger job cuts and unemployment claims. So they're publishing those separately, it appears, and then non-farm payroll on Friday. Sorry. No, it's not non-farm payroll. We've got core PCE. So, okay. So, look, we've got sort of strange publications of some of these US job numbers. Sorry. Did they say they weren't going to give us October's non-farm payroll numbers? I think it's October's that we're going to be missing. So, look, I don't know how the markets interpret this. It's going to be interesting. Will they sell off in because they're nervous of a lack of data, or will they just sort of carry on as normal and pretend that we do have them? But no, it's going to be really, really interesting. Okay, so look, we're going to finish off with some consumer sentiment and inflation numbers as well, just to see where we sit around that. So, So next up, manufacturing numbers across Europe, UK and US. Let's see if that's improving or disimproving. Something to just comment upon, and it's really the state of play regarding US bond yields. And it's really, firstly worth noting is that we're at the lower end of this range, as you can see. This is the two-year Treasury note. And we're very close to October's lows, so really not too far. We're potentially a day of price action away from breaking these new lows. And there's similar dynamic with the 10-year, which is so the longer the bond yield, the less influence that the Fed would have. So the 3.5 currently in the 2-year allows basically the Fed to cut rates 25 basis points. The markets are kind of allowing that potential possibility. But as we go up the time frames from 2-year to 10-year, you can see we're slightly elevated in terms of the bond yield itself, from 3.5 to 4.0 basically. But we're still at the lower end of October's lows, and we're just a little bounce just over the last few days, just a little bit of bounce off the lows. So we were just below those 4% levels, ever so marginally. But this is when it gets interesting, because they have no impact whatsoever over the longer term, 30-year. And this is what we're seeing rise. So you can see that the price action is different, to the extent is that we're not down here at 4.5 or 4.55 or something. We're not sort of comparatively at these lower levels. We're actually on the verge of a fairly significant structural failure trade, just at marginally higher levels. So although bond yields have sort of stayed out of the overall discussion and backdrop, we're at lower levels at the near end. It's just suggesting that actually the inflation number is a bit of a problem for those bigger timeframes. So you could have a situation where you get the central bank cutting rates with Kevin Hassett at the helm, followed by Trump and Stephen Miron. But you could also have dynamics which wouldn't be particularly good for the economy, with inflation continuing to squeeze higher. So we're going to have to reconcile those. It's going to be really fascinating over the next 12 months, really, in terms of what policies pursued and how inflation is going to react. Now, what it will do for us as traders is present some fantastic opportunities, but it's very difficult for us to tell with any reasonable forecasting ability, let's say, to actually determine whether the market will react in a net positive or a net negative manner. It's going to really depend on the policy and the framing of that policy. But the one thing's for sure, it'll present phenomenal opportunities for us as traders, even if it's in the indices or the dollar or gold or commodity markets. So we'll bear that in mind. So moving on to the technical charts. So we had our stop loss for this trade. We gave it a little bit of room for the S&P 500, just below this little low, just in case we did pull back. We kind of wanted it to just give it a little bit of room. But you can see that we just rejected the highs just the latter part of Friday, and then we opened up and we've just really sold off quite aggressively. So this is probably a little bit of stop loss hunting and just a little bit of sort of clearing out a bit of the market. So we had a pretty dramatic pullback. No obvious reasons for it. Black Friday sales are apparently record levels. Now, where we are sort of enjoying a little bit more, we're making a little bit more progress, would be in markets like the US dollar. So we're still in the euro dollar to the upside. And if we break these highs, we get above the 1,1600, 1,1620, those highs, then we'll be mitigating risk on the trade. So we're pretty close to breaking out, but it's just being held up a little bit. Same dynamic around the pound. We're in no massive rush, really. But if we get above the 32.65, our expectations for further upside. Had a good move there on Friday in gold. Again, a really sizable rally and continuation again today. And US oil was an interesting one. We said if we could pull back into $60, we'd find it quite interesting. We had an OPEC plus meeting. Okay, that's something that's just worth just drawing your attention to. So if we go back to the weekend, so we got these OPEC JMMC meetings. So OPEC plus, and then obviously there was a bit more of a narrow OPEC meeting. So OPEC plus holds 2026 group wide oil output steady, agrees capacity mechanism. So they're holding that output. So they were looking to increase supply in order to reestablish market share, because it had been restrictive for quite some time. And they're clearly kind of putting that on pause now. They're not continuing to discuss about oil increases, but actually hold still and just see how these things play out. So not a particularly... not a particularly bullish or really bearish outcome, really, just holding steady and see how these things play out. Okay, so so we probably have a technical opportunity to start selling. We're mildly comfortable with selling below $60 and buying sort of above $60, where it have to be above 61, I'd say. So let's put up our we're going to let you go with just some directional bias, and you know, what direction are we looking to take these markets? Well, or despite the pullback, we don't really have any reason not to still favor these equity markets to the upside, unless something comes to the fore today. If there's some sort of shift in narrative, then that may sort of change things. And this is going to be one of the features, really, of these markets, is that we need to be quite flexible with our, you know, whatever narrative happens to be driving that market. It could very much have differing impacts on these markets. So basically, across the dollar pairs, we're talking about dollar weakness. So euro dollar up, pound up. We still think there's an environment really with a weaker dollar for gold to continue to rally, which is really what it's doing. I know a few of you on and off are kind of leaning into that gold trade. That's exactly what it's all about. And we're looking for sort of downward momentum really around US oil. So we don't really have to go kind of too far away from that. One thing to just contemplate really would be around the potential for the Bank of Japan to stimulate the economy. To buy the yen and to kind of force a little bit of yen strength. Now it's a dangerous position to make, because any sort of spending in the yen could push the yen down, and then we get the carry trade kicking back in again. So unless it deals with central bank spending and purchasing the yen, you're clearly seeing a bit of a corrective move. How long will the BOJ be willing to throw money at trying to weaken the yen while they're still trying to stimulate the economy is a difficult one. So so a little bit more work to be done as far as the yen's concerned. But look, that's pretty much our bias. It was the same bias as last week, to varying different sort of outcomes, scaling into those dollar trades. Still got a little bit more upside. Don't think we're done just yet. So more upside for the euro dollar eventually, more upside for the pound, and more upside for gold. And let's see if any narrative shifts around the S&P and the NASDAQ with today's news. We very well may get that. Right, so look, that's today's trade plan. Thanks very much for joining us. We're just going to just post this, and don't forget, we're only a few days away now from a potential Fed rate cut, which is still looking quite likely. So risk on market conditions due to positive Black Friday sales. So easing liquidity fears, a positive AI story, our backdrop. Backdrop. Expected Fed rate cut the 10th of December, along with Kevin Hassett floated as next Fed chair. So yeah, each of these things are all really quite positive. You could say that there is still probably a high degree of anxiety and fear. The problem is that's indiscriminate, and you might just get a period of sort of panic selling, which seems to what's happened since the market opened overnight. So very little you can really do about that. We still, for now, would have no massive reason not to expect further upside rather than further downside. So further US indices strength. We've now seen these things pull back. We'll see if there's an opportunity to buy. We don't want to bang our heads off a brick wall if the You see, we don't necessarily want to give these indices markets really, really wide stop losses and things like that. We kind of want to force the issue, and if we can sort of see a little rally and be able to mitigate risk pretty quickly, that would be a preferred strategy. So looking for further dollar weakness and looking for gold above 41.73, let me just double check if I can find my 41.73 for gold. Yeah, that was a nice move there on Friday. We're much higher now than that. Right, so what we can do is have a look at US oil. Yeah, that might be a better solution. So what we'll do is we're a good bit above those levels now, 41.73. So US oil it's a sell trade, isn't it? Sell below. It's just a broad-based sort of price point to just keep an eye out for. That's pretty much where we're at. Nothing major really to add to that. So let's post that into the chat box and we'll wrap it up there, shall we? So look, on that note, those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll be joining you there very shortly. We'll continue to have discussions around these narratives that are driving these prices. Any questions, let us know. And on that note, guys, we shall see you all either this morning for the European trading session, maybe this afternoon, or even tomorrow if you can join us then. So we look forward to seeing you soon anyway. Thanks, everyone. Listen, take care of yourselves. Speak to you soon. My pleasure as always. Bye for now.